Today is, well, the last day this week of the KSFR Fund Drive, and if we reach our goal, it'll be the last day altogether. So why don't we go for a $2,000 goal this hour by calling 428-1393, 428-1393. It's the Fund Drive, and we've got so much to do today that we don't want to just talk about the Fund Drive the whole time, but we definitely want you to call. And so calling involves going over to the telephonic device that you have and picking it up with one hand and with the other hand entering the following numbers, 428-1393, and then it'll ring and then you'll talk to some of the very nice people on the other end of the telephone line who will say, would you like to make a pledge to KSFR? And then you say, yes. And then you give the amount that you would like to give, whether it's $10 a month or whether it's a $100 one-time donation or whether it's $25 or $50 or whatever it is that you feel that you can give. And then a bunch of people do that, and then we've reached our goal of $2,000 for this hour. So please give a call right now, 428-1393, to support this show, which I know that you listen to because you're listening to it right now. And I think a lot of people who are listening to it right now listen to it every single morning. And if you do that, please support it. No joke. 428-1393, that's in the 505 area code. And I'd like to welcome Linda Siegel with today's legislative update. Welcome, Linda.
Well, good morning, Mary Charlotte, and I'd like to help towards your goal of $2,000 by pledging $200.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Oh, my goodness. Linda Siegel, you are generous beyond belief. Thank you so much. We're 10% of the way there, so ladies and gentlemen, bring us the other 90% right now. 428-1393.
And how about a challenge to my fellow Santa Fe Community College board members and new board members coming in
awesome.
To meet my challenge?
Yes, one of whom is a former KSFR board member.
Yes.
So 428-1393 is
okay.
The number. And out of area, it's the toll-free number is 866-907-5737. That's 866-907-KSFR. Now,
okay.
Let's talk about the fact that tomorrow is the last day of the legislature and a whole lot of things are happening.
Yes, indeed. The last day, except maybe there might be a special session.
Oh, dear.
Why
is that?
Well, it seems that the governor did not get the tax cuts that she would like. And, in fact, there are very few tax cuts going through the legislature. So
tax cuts because there's just so much extra revenue that we might as well refund some of it to the citizens?
Right. I believe that her initial request was pretty much for all the new revenue that we had to come out in tax cuts. And, of course, at this point, that's not possible because we really needed more money for public education and higher education and for some of our safety net programs that have been cut dramatically over the last few years. And so the legislature has sent up a budget that doesn't quite meet her expectations, and so she's going to be bringing people back at some point in the future. And the other piece that may be contributing to that is that the Navajo Nation has negotiated gambling compacts so that they can open their new casinos, and they reached an agreement just this week, and so the governor would like those compacts to be approved by the legislature. And they had one hearing with no public testimony where they agreed and passed out some kind of legislation. I haven't even looked at it. But it doesn't look like the legislature is going to take that up because they don't seem to have time.
Right. Since 24 hours from now, well, a little more than that, it'll all be over for this session.
For the moment.
For the moment. All right, so let's talk about the minimum wage. Where are we with that?
Okay, we've really focused on some big pieces of legislation and kind of tracked them through the process. The minimum wage bill started out in the Senate with, it was just an across-the-board minimum wage. Then it got amended to exempt employers with 11 or less people. It passed out of the Senate that way. Then it went over to the House, and in the House, they kind of amended it back, and they only exempted employers with 3 or less people.
Uh-huh.
And now it is passed out of the House, it is back in the Senate, and the Senate has to concur, or there will be nothing. And we don't know what's going to happen. It is waiting in the Senate for a possible concurrence. And what it may do is there may be much more debate on it because the Senate didn't agree with the lower numbers.
428-1393, by the way. We want the telephones to ring while you're listening to Linda Siegel and make a contribution to KSFR. Now, let's talk another thing is equal pay for women. Did we get anywhere on
yes,
that?
Yes. Now, that was that seems like a no-brainer. Let's see. It's 2013. Didn't we have that already? No. And that bill actually passed both chambers. And is in the it's on the way up to the governor, and she actually signed it.
Oh,
went to the governor.
It happened.
And it happened. Signed. One of them was signed. The House bill was signed. The Senate bill may go up too, but we know that it was it's going to be in effect now. But I mean, the governor really couldn't not sign it.
Yeah. It's, right. A female governor better sign equal pay for women.
Yeah.
Thank
Since
you very much.
Women still, a lot of the numbers thrown around, 78% of what men make for the same work.
That'll be very interesting to see how that plays out and to see what kind of challenges there are to the not unequal pay situations on the ground.
And it was interesting to hear some of the arguments that said that where both women and men who have daughters were saying, well, now I'm afraid that this will result in my daughter not being hired because then she might have to file a lawsuit or something, so we'll just hire men. It's a crazy thing.
That's the most pathetic argument I've ever heard. 428-1393. The phones are ringing, but they're ringing lightly, so let's let them ring heavily. Now, there's a couple of things involving retirement and pensions and things that we've talked about in the past. What's going on?
Yes, and those are critical must-pass bills and sign them to and send them to the governor. The PERA retirement fix has passed both chambers now and will be on the way to the governor. And the thing about bills going to the governor, the second they pass, they don't go to the governor because they have to go through a process called enrolling and engrossing where the people down there are like the nerds that read every single line and make sure that every piece of amendment is in the right place. And so that takes time. So that bill hasn't gone up there, but it will be going up there.
Can I just give a shout out to nerds?
Yes.
We love you. Nerds looking at punctuation and proper use of the English language. We love you.
And I mean that in the best terms.
I do too.
Yes, because we need them to make sure these are right because
I know.
These are the laws that are going to go into effect.
It's so true. I've been called Conan the Grammarian.
Now then there's the ERB, which is the educational retirement. And that one has passed the Senate and is now on the House floor, and I'm sure they're going to get to it because these bills have to pass. We have to fix both those retirement systems that are billions of dollars technically in the hole if they had to pay out. And,
right.
And these bring them up to into the 90 percentile actuarially. So they're good. They're not. They're compromises because everybody's kind of unhappy with them, but we need to get them going.
That's said to be a kind of a good bill when everybody's unhappy with
right,
it.
Right.
All right. Now, the appointed Secretary of Education has been having hearings. What was the upshot of that, or is there an upshot?
Well, this too may be part of the governor's dissatisfaction because Secretary Desenick Scandera finally had a hearing after 2 years of being the secretary designate, and the hearing, as you know, was quite protracted. They'd meet one day for 3 or 4 hours and they'd hear testimony, and then they'd wait a few days and meet again and meet, and they were close to having a vote this week, and they adjourned, the committee adjourns, and apparently they're not going to meet again, so apparently she continues to be in the limbo of being a secretary designate, but that can't make the governor very happy either.
Right. Interesting. Yes. Okay. Now, there's so much to do. Nursing staffing. That was a big one.
Yes. That was a hot bill generated from our own 1199 here in Santa Fe. because of some problems that they perceive at
1199 being the union.
I'm sorry, the union, yes. And they got a long way. They got through two House committees, and they got to House Appropriations, which was the final committee before they would go to the House floor, and the bill was a tie vote. So the bill couldn't move.
Oh, no.
And they were hoping to try to get somebody to switch their vote or, you know, do those maneuvers
that we
all try to do.
That's interesting. That means one Democrat voted against it.
Yes.
I've seen that before.
Yeah, but they really got the issues out there, and I think regardless of it not passing, it was really a good... several good hearings and lots of activism by nurses. And I hope the hospital and the nurses will get together and work out these issues.
428-1393 is the number. We're almost a quarter of the way to our $2,000 goal for this hour, and we're about a quarter of the way through the show. So that's kind of good. That's working out real good. Linda Siegel is with us with the legislative update. Now, there are always, what do we call that again, pork? No.
Yes. Capital. Yes. We call it capital outlay, but it is. But we call it pork. Lovingly call it pork.
My favorite food.
The other white meat.
The other white meat, because your heart can take it. So what's going on with capital outlay?
Well, capital outlay seems to be progressing quite well since they made their agreement on it, where the governor got $122 million and the legislators got $100 million. So that meant the Senate got $50 million, the House got $50 million, and we'll see that bill come out. I think it's on the House floor, but it'll definitely get voted out because we need to inject that $220 million into the economy. Those are fairly immediate jobs with projects that are either ongoing. Sometimes they're contributing to ongoing projects, new projects, and those are the things that that help put our construction workers back to work.
Right, exactly.
So I see that one not having too much trouble. The governor may line item a few things of legislators that she's mad at. And that's typical. Richardson did it. Johnson did it. Every governor gets even with legislators by line item vetoing their projects. But I think we'll get most of that money out there and spent soon.
Is that really how wise leaders work? 428-1393, 428-1393 is the number, and the phones are, they got a little quiet, which is very bad, because we really do need your support, we need everybody's support, and Linda Siegel made a very generous donation at the beginning of this show, so all of you who are into politics in any way at all, either actively or just simply through voting, and who listen to the Radio Cafe, in order to get information that helps them to decide what they think and how they're going to act on issues. You know what? Just call and support the show. It would be just terrific. 428-1393 or 1-866-907-5737. You can also pledge online at ksfr.org. That makes it easy, but it's also fun if you call. And you don't have to have your name read on the air, but you can have your name read on the air if you want to. Or you can have your donation made in the name of your favorite pet or anybody else that you like, human or otherwise. Now, the PRC, Public Regulation Commission, there was a constitutional amendment, as we've discussed before, that basically said that if you are going to run for the PRC, you have to have some qualifications. And so now there is a bill that, or maybe multiple bills that list what those qualifications are? Where
yeah,
are we with that?
There were competing bills in the House and the Senate, but one of those bills is very close to passing. And the thing about these constitutional amendments that, you know, we have them on the insurance division, we have them on the PRC, we have them on the Secretary of State moving the Corporations Commission over to there. All of these constitutional amendments say that they go into effect July 1, 2013. So the legislature has to pass legislation enabling that to happen and creating the structure.
So and they understand that.
And they do understand that. Sometimes things get caught up in other movidas and other activities, but they do understand they got to get those through. So those are going to be priorities. And the PRC, I think they've reached a compromise on the kind of qualifications, and that one should go through.
And so those qualifications involve things like a level of education and the
experience.
Area of expertise.
Right, experience, the degrees, and trying to get people who might know something about insurance, utilities, transportation issues. That might be helpful in the PRC.
We had Fred Nathan from Think New Mexico, who's been very active in promoting those bills for qualifications and had very, very reasonable and kind of sensible ideas about that, which got written into some of these bills. And he said, my wife is a very intelligent woman with degrees from fabulous colleges. She's a graphic designer. She shouldn't be on the PRC.
Yes, so that's going to be an important one to hopefully improve the expertise of those people who get elected to the PRC. But the insurance division, too, is a very important one because that will create, hopefully, a professional insurance person who doesn't have to respond to politics. Because the way these pieces of legislation are written with the appointments is that there will be like commissions of so many people, some appointed by the governor, the legislature, and that those commissions will select competent people to serve. That is the hope anyway.
Well, and it's very important that things that have to do with the health and safety of ordinary citizens not be politicized.
Yes.
We are now we've just surpassed our quarter of the way to our $2,000 goal for this morning. So let's keep the telephones ringing at 428-1393. And we've got actually some nice things that we're going to give away, and we'll talk about those more in the second half of the show. But one of them, I'm just going to give you a little preview, is tonight is the Theater Grotesco Gala, which includes performances and champagne and all kinds of good things. And so we've got two pairs of tickets for that. So give a call, 428-1393, and find out about that, because I'm going. That's going to be fun. So the public defender, that's yet another thing of the sort of the same kind of thing.
Right.
Not politicizing a very important position.
Right, and that's another constitutional amendment where they're creating a commission. The Supreme Court justice has an appointment. The governor has an appointment. The legislature has some appointments. And hopefully that commission then will depoliticize the public defender position.
Have we had problems with the public defender being politicized?
Yes, always. Many of those jobs are become quite political. We know that the insurance superintendent has been quite politicized.
Yeah. And
so same with the public defender in different administrations.
So tomorrow is the end of the session. What time does it end? Noon
it
or
ends
5?
At noon.
Noon. And so what are the things that you expect to see movement on? For example, we haven't talked about the guns.
Right. And as you heard the news just a few minutes ago, finally, that House Bill 77, which had passed the House with 3 hours of debate, incidentally, went over to the Senate Judiciary, and they just had the committee hearing last night and passed that bill out. So it will go on the Senate calendar. Now, the thing about the Senate calendar is it has hundreds of bills on it, and there's no order to how those bills are heard. It's the majority floor leader which decides what bill will be heard. But I suspect that will be one of the bills that they're going to be willing to have a lot of debate on and actually hear that bill. Because the governor has said she supports background checks. And
yeah.
That's all this bill is now, is mandatory background checks, even at gun shows.
428-1393. Apparently I misspoke. It's not that there's two pairs of tickets to the Theater Grotesco Gala. There's two tickets. So you can give a call to 428-1393. The phone is apparently ringing. We like this, but we want it to ring really, really a lot and have all four phones really busy and all four phone volunteers scrambling and having their pencils flying into the air. So what else do you think is going to be heard?
Well, I think another hot issue is the health insurance exchange, the creation of that exchange, which has been super controversial in this session. There have been like five bills. Finally, a compromise bill has emerged which did pass the Senate, got out of the committee in a committee in the House, and is also now on the House floor,
okay,
where there are hundreds of bills.
Yeah.
But again, this is going to be one that we really want to pass. The governor has been engaged. The governor's office has been engaged in developing this compromise. So we really want to get that up there so we can have a state insurance exchange and not have to be part of the federal exchange.
Yes, which would be very nice because New Mexicans want to do things the way New Mexicans want to do them. And is it a decent, have you seen it? Is it a decent bill?
Yeah, it's, again, everybody's pretty unhappy with it. So
that means it's good.
It's a decent compromise, which hits a lot of the important points. Actually, I forgot, an amendment was put on in the House. So once the House passes it, it's going to have to go back to concurrence in the Senate, which means the Senate just agrees to that amendment, which I think they will.
I think we better bring a whole bunch of espresso over to the legislature.
Oh, yes. Well, the Senate chamber met night before last till about 11:30. They quit at like 8 o'clock last night, but then they went to a couple of committees and met quite late, I understand. And tonight, probably both the House and the Senate will be in their chambers meeting fairly late into the night, I would imagine. They usually do that.
Well, Linda Siegel, it has been a tremendous pleasure having you on for all the 8 weeks of the session every Friday. We've done the legislative update a lot of different ways, sometimes
yes,
three times a week, sometimes twice a week, but now we have a longer, almost half hour, 20-minute session on Fridays, and what we will do is, what, in a week or two, we'll have a legislative wrap-up?
Yeah, we can have a wrap-up with everything that passed, because it'll take days to figure out which bills passed, and talk about that.
And then which are signed.
Yes, and the governor has 20 days from the day the session ends to sign bills that got to her in the last 3 days, which
okay,
usually is 95% of the bills get there in
yeah,
the last 3 days. We can talk about what's signed. Maybe we'll have a date for the special session.
Oh, heavens.
So
is that an inevitability at this point?
Well, that's what the governor is saying. I don't, you know, it's possible that the legislature could tweak some things to satisfy some of her demands, and maybe we won't have a special session, but I don't know.
We shall see.
It doesn't look good.
Linda Siegel is with us, has been with us every Friday for the last 8 weeks for the legislative update. Thank you for being with us on the Radio Cafe. And once more, why should people call right now to 428-1393?
Because this is a great radio station. I have been peripherally involved with this radio station for years as a board member on the Santa Fe Community College. We were so glad when the Northern New Mexico Radio, I'm not sure what your name is,
Foundation
came and took it over and really have made it such a great station. This is the place where we can get information that is not available anywhere else. I mean, where else are you going to hear updates on the legislative session like we do?
It's true.
So thank you, Mary Charlotte, and please everybody call in and help keep this great station going.
428-1393. Linda Siegel, thank you so much. We're going to take a little break right now, and Diane will keep, Karp will be us in a moment. Speaking of the arts, we'll be right back. And while these beautiful underwriting spots are playing, please give us a call.
Santa Fe Art Institute is pleased to present China Express, an exhibition of the latest works by documentary photographer Carlin Tapp. In January and February of this year, Tapp explored the people and places along the route of the four trains per day that haul uncovered coal cars to the Pacific coast to be shipped to China. China Express will be up through April 5th in the SFAI Gallery. For more info, visit sfai.org. A message from the tax-exempt SFAI.
Lannan Foundation presents a reading and conversation with author Russell Banks on Wednesday, March 27th, 7 p.m. at the Lenzic. Russell Banks has written more than 10 novels and the story collection The Angel on the Roof. His novels, The Sweet Hereafter and Affliction, were adapted into celebrated feature films. Michael Ondaatje calls Russell Banks the uncompromising moral voice of our time. Tickets at the Lenzic or TicketsSantaFe.com. A message from the tax-exempt Lannan Foundation.
Theater Grotesco and the Center for Contemporary Arts present Eventua, a new Santa Fe performance series. Don't miss Theater Grotesco's exquisite absurdity, 30 Years of Looking Forward, March 15th through April 7th, with national guest artists April 11th through May 5th. For information, visit theatergrotesco.org or call 474-8400. This message paid for by Theater Grotesco, a tax-exempt organization.
And we're here in the Santa Fe Baking Company with Diane Karp, who's executive director of the Santa Fe Art Institute. Bienvenida.
Gracias. Thank you so much. Good morning,
Good
Santa
morning.
Fe.
So we're going to talk about all the different things that are going on in town, of which there are so many besides the Cat of the Week, which we'll also talk about. But let's talk about the fun drive of the week.
Well, you know, one of the things that I wanted to talk about this week is that Deborah Madison has a brand new, it's not a traditional cookbook. It's called Vegetable Literacy.
I'm having her on Monday.
You are going to love it. Deborah is the queen of vegetarian cooking, and she has created a book that is part botany, part cookbook. It's about the various families of edible vegetables. And
right.
For those of you who are nerds, and there are a lot of us out there,
yes.
And those of you who care about gardening, and those of you who care about cooking, this is going to be an amazing book. But it brought to mind the whole idea that you are what you eat.
Mm.
And if you want to gain insight, you need to learn about what you're taking in. And KSFR is the delivery system.
The food metaphor.
It's the food metaphor. And we all know that organic is worth more, it's more valuable, it's more important to us. KSFR is organic radio.
That's true,
isn't it? It's not NPR, it's not corporate, it's not processed. It really is radio that rises from the roots of the soil we live in. And your show and many of the other shows, Counterspin and Helga and Kona, all bring us a really diverse diet that is sound and strong and important and will help us to be healthier, stronger, better citizens, better people, better neighbors. So in order to be all of these things, we need to be better informed, and KSFR is the vehicle that delivers it. So think of us as your farmer's market.
428-1393 is the number, 428-1393. And you can give a call and deliver some organic contributions to this organic radio station. I'd love that.
And so to start, what I'd like to do is to challenge all of my political and social activist and arts community to meet my challenge. I'm going to make a major donation.
Uh-oh.
I don't think we have to tell people how much it is.
Yes.
For me, it's major.
Okay.
But we want you to rise to the challenge. Every dollar that you give is going to be doubled up to a particular amount.
All right. And that is particular amount is in the hundreds.
It is indeed. It's in the number of hundreds.
It's in the numbers of
hundreds. It's somewhere between 0 and 1,000. How's that? How's that?
Hey, I think we could better do some thank yous.
Marvelous.
Yes, we have quite a few. There's Donna Leshny.
Thank you.
Elena Zachary and Little Dog Dino.
There's lots of dog people calling. I
yes.
love it.
And Roberto Capuccio.
Capocchi.
I always get, but, you know, he had a question. He thought you were questionable. Not really. He thinks you're really nice.
He thought I was questionable?
Well, but that's the whole point. That's what she does. She asks questions.
That's right.
And people ask questions of her. I think it's open communication.
My last name in Italian is Domandi, which in Italian means you ask.
That's right. Domandi. Ask me.
Domandi.
That's right.
Okay. Anonymous, two to thank.
Yay.
As well as Karen Lee.
Thank you, Karen.
David Norrell.
Yay.
And Susan Harris.
Thank you all so much. So we are well on the way to meeting, believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, our $2,000 challenge for this hour.
And we're going to make it because I'm very competitive and I hate losing.
Well.
So you guys have to support me out there and support Mary Charlotte and support KSFR.
Can I just say that this week's featured cat of the week from Felines and Friends is Marcham? And he was rescued in the Santa Fe area during the trap, neuter, and release operation. And he's very friendly and playful and a handsome little boy with a short coat and silver tabby markings. And he's just under a year old, and he's the cutest little thing. And if you're interested in adopting Marcham, call 505-316-2281 or go to fnfnm.org or Google felinesandfriendsnewmexico.org.
But otherwise, while you're reaching for the phone, please dial 428-1393.
Yay.
Or you can go online to ksfr.org.
That's true.
Or you can dial toll-free if you're out of the Santa Fe region at 866-907-KSFR.
907-5737. And so I love it when the phones ring.
Please make the phones ring. You will make both of us and KSFR very happy. And you will be able to continue to hear political talk and social justice talk and really high-end arts talk. And
dog talk.
Dog talk, yes. And from time to time we let the cats in. But
you know, dogs won on Tuesday, I'm just saying.
Hey, listen, there's a reason for that. And it's not that there are more dogs in Santa Fe than cats, because there are more cats. It's just that the dogs have more political and social integrity.
428-1393. And people, I'm just kidding with the cats and dogs. I like cats too, but people can donate in the names of their pets, and they sometimes do so, which I think is so lovely.
Well, be dialed in.
Your dog dialed in?
Yes, my dog dialed in. She's a beagle. She's very smart.
She's very smart.
She can honk the horn and dial the phone.
I've heard her honk the horn. When Diane is indoors and her dog is outside in the car and the dog is ready to go home, she honks the horn.
And I respond.
I know. 428-1393. Now, tonight at 6 o'clock, Mary Johnson will be talking about her book, An Unquenchable Thirst, at Collected Works Bookstore. And this is a woman who was for 20 years a nun with Mother Teresa's Missionaries of Charity, and then returned to the secular world and went through this whole journey of self-discovery and search for love and identity and understanding and all these things that I'm sure are very hard for people who come out of a monastic life to return to the secular world where they have to make all kinds of decisions that you don't have to make when you're a nun. Anyway, the book is supposedly very, very good, and she will be there at 6 o'clock tonight. And then tomorrow, there is at 8:30 in the morning, for those of you who like to get up, there is an opera breakfast lecture where Mary Kime will be guiding people through the plot and interpretation of Zandonai's masterpiece,
Francesca da Rimini,
before the live broadcast.
Right. It's a wonderful combination, and Collected Works is not only a brilliant independent bookstore, like independent radio, but they also have some of the best coffee and pastry in town. So not only do you get to hear a lot about Francesca da Rimini and prepare yourself for the opera, but you really can partake. And while you're there, cruise the shelves, because the diversity and the quality of the bookstores in Santa Fe is remarkable.
428-1393 is the number, and we really would love to have the support to reach our $2,000 goal for this hour, because we just know that you are out there listening to the Radio Cafe every day, and that call to support this show lets us know that you care enough about this show and this station that you really don't want to live without it, that you don't want to go 6 months from now and have this show or this station be off the air. I mean, that's what it really comes to, because we're so hand-to-mouth. I mean, every 6 months or so, we do a fund drive so we can stay on the air another 6 months. That's how it works.
Almost all of the nonprofits have that same challenge, and it's important for everyone to understand that, like electricity, like water, you assume that when you turn the radio on, it's going to flow. But like electricity and like water, someone has to pay for it. And
exactly.
It is the best bargain in town. If you provide $10 a month to be a sustaining member, you basically are going to feel like you're supporting your community, you're engaged, you've made a difference. And if you can give more than $10, please do so. $10 is going to buy you a decent cup of coffee and a piece of pastry, and I'm sure you consume that more than once a month. So think of this as your caffeine jolt or your way of being part of the important aspects of community communication.
And it is basically, as we've said before, it's cheaper than a cable subscription, and you are not required to pay for a subscription to radio.
No.
But it is at least as nourishing or more so than most of the junk that is on commercial media. Not that there isn't some good stuff from time to time, but we put good stuff on KSFR all day long, And all we ask you to do is make a voluntary subscription to this station. Give us a call, 428-1393. And I'd like to mention that on Sunday, let me just finish Collected Works here. On Sunday, March 17th, Journey Santa Fe presents Circumstances of Women Around the World, a poetry reading with Patricia Lee Sharp, who is a poet, journalist, teacher, and foreign service officer with 23 years of public diplomacy experience all over the world. And she has witnessed more than most of us put together and has made a fine book of poetry. Then also on Sunday from 2 to 4:30, High Desert Harps celebrates St. Patrick's Day at Collected Works.
Jordan
Yay, St. Patrick's Day. Yep.
Wearing the green they are.
Right. And then on Wednesday of next week, March 20th at 6 o'clock, special guest James McGrath Morris will introduce and conduct short interviews with Deborah Madison,
Yay.
And whom we just talked about. And then Thursday at 6 o'clock, all this is a Collected Works bookstore, live demonstration, this is at 6 in the evening, live demonstrations by 5 Native American and Hispano artists. Margaret Moore Booker will introduce and discuss her book, Southwestern Art Defined, an Illustrated Guide, and I will be doing an interview with her next week on that as well. So lots of good stuff at Collected Works.
And all different kinds of things, not only at Collected Works, but that show up here on KSFR. So you can actually feel as though you've had a direct conversation with these amazing artists and writers and journalists and teachers. And, you know, one of the things that is most impressive to me is that every time we bring someone to speak with Mary Charlotte to be on the radio, the comment that always comes back is that it was one of the best interviews that they had ever had, that Mary Charlotte is always prepared, she asks really important questions, and I'm always in my car or at home listening, thinking, damn, that was a smart question. I wish I had thought of asking that. And so I get to hear the answers that I would have wanted to hear if I had the chance to speak to these people.
We have $442 left to go to meet our challenge.
Oh, we've got to ramp it up, guys. Come on. Get reasonable, get responsible, get involved. You'll feel so much better after you've picked up the phone and made the call, because we all know that donating to important projects makes you feel good.
I love the command. This is the command of the intellectual. Get reasonable.
There you go. Get involved.
428
so let's talk a little bit about some. Oh, 428-1393 or 866-907-KSFR if you're out of the dialing zone. Or go to ksfr.org and make a donation by clicking at the top right and it says donate. It's like a command as well. One of the things that I want to mention, you've already talked about Theater Grotesco, which is starting its big project at CCA tonight.
Oh, but yeah, and that's, we're giving away two tickets.
Two tickets, a pair of tickets, or you could buy both, or you can buy one and go. But also at CCA tonight is going to be a presentation by Miguel Azabe. And Miguel is an artist who was in residence at the Santa Fe Art Institute for 3 months, working on his video projects and on his painting. And he's going to between 6 and 8 tonight, and it didn't make it into the paper. So that's another benefit of radio, that it can be more flexible and more responsive.
Yeah,
than,
people sent me stuff yesterday.
Yes, than the press sometimes is. But I recommend that you, if you're going to CCA, even if you can't afford to go to the gala and you don't get one of these tickets through KSFR, you check out the work of Miguel Arzabe. It's remarkably beautiful work. He's an Albuquerquean, so he's a local boy and worth supporting.
Okay.
The other two things that are going on tonight are two really wonderful theater presentations. The Three Sisters, which is over at the Armory for the Arts,
yes.
which is going to be presented Friday through Sunday through March 24th. Also on Thursday, March 21st, and In the Time of the Butterflies, which is a remarkable play at Teatro Paraguas, mm-hmm. which is one of my favorite theaters in town. It's a new play by Caridad Svich, and it's about four generations of four women under the sort of oppression of a despotic government.
Trujillo, exactly.
In the Dominican Republic. And that's over there at Teatro Paraguas. So get over and see that. Another interesting thing that's going on today is that the Teatro Paraguas is going to be Friday and Sunday through March 24th. There's a book called Birds of Prey, and it's going to be at the public library both today and tomorrow. Today at 4 p.m., tomorrow at 10:30 p.m. Really interesting to learn about the birds in our area, and especially the birds of prey.
428-1393 is the number. Now, there's a couple of other things. The Santa Fe Seed Exchange is happening. Santa Fe Parks Division and Homegrown New Mexico are hosting a vegetable, herb, flower, and seed exchange. And even if you don't have any seeds, you can come because there's many to share. And that's on Wednesday, March 20th from 4 to 7 at Frenchie's Barn, which is in Frenchie's Field Park at Osage and Agua Fria. For more information, homegrownnewmexico.org, or you can call 473-1403. A very important and interesting thing to do.
And what's more, if you're a gardener and you failed regularly, this is a brilliant way to ground yourself, no pun intended, and learn about the plants that grow here naturally and grow well.
Trey Keepin is at El Farol playing saxophone jazz on Thursday, March 21st. And there is no cover. That's happening at El Farol.
Stephen Osherman, who's a wonderful guy, is going to be talking about 60 hikes within 60 miles, which are various hikes in the area. And he's talking at the Cerrillos Hills State Park Visitor Center. Cerrillos Hills State Park. Lots of us in Santa Fe have never been there. If you like to hike, if you like nature, it's a beautiful place to be. 2 p.m. on Saturday.
And we also wanted to let people know that at Vanessi of Santa Fe, the same Trey Keepin will also be playing tonight from 7:30 until closing. There's a low cover. And Bob Finney tomorrow will be doing contemporary vocal and piano classics from 6:30 until closing. Vanessi of Santa Fe, 982-9966.
I also want to talk about the Tides Project. It's a multimedia arts event that will include local and international artists presenting music, art, film, and poetry. And it's going to be presented out at IAIA, the campus out on Avenue Poe Road, very close to the community college. And it's free. You can make a donation if you want. You can come and present your work if you'd like. And it's also going to involve the Dome, which is one of the more remarkable theater spaces that we have in Santa Fe. And that's taking place on Sunday from 2 to 4 p.m. So get out there, and you can wear green if you want. The Native community likes green.
We are getting so close to our $2,000 goal, but we're not there yet. So 428-1393 is the number that we would like and want and need you to call to support this show and to support KSFR overall, which is a wonderful, wonderful station. And I would just like to say something. I have been talking to other journalists lately, and I know people who have quit their jobs because of really egregious editorial interference.
Bingo.
And that is a really hard place for a journalist to be. And I understand what the needs of editors are, but we have, and I have here on the Radio Cafe, virtually no, I mean, there's nobody breathing down my neck. I put on the air what I want to. The public responds as it wishes, but I do not have an editor saying, you can't do this because we're going to lose our funding or something like that. And on the contrary, people like it, and we get more funding from our listeners and from our donors.
Absolutely, and I think you've touched on a very key point. This isn't corporate radio where some corporate decision maker or decision makers decide what it is that we should hear.
Right.
This is a system where we get to hear what we find of value and of importance, and we have a say in it. And this is where you guys have your say. If you call in and you say, I like what goes on KSFR Santa Fe Radio Cafe, you are saying, this is where I'm putting my money, this is where I want to hear, and you'll hear it. And the same thing goes, and you can call in and support almost anything that you hear on KSFR at any time, but now is the time to support the radio that is of value to you.
428-1393, and we still need some more calls today to get to our goal, and we have some thank yous from the control room.
Oh, we have lots of thank yous. Nancy Warren says,
yay, thank you.
Mary Charlotte.
We love her. She's so wonderful, and she's such a faithful listener.
Chuck Forrest.
Thank you.
Anne Wrinkle, who's definitely a fan of yours.
Woo! Yay!
And a big fan of yours, Agnes Langdon.
Yay!
Yay!
Thank you.
Ed, oh gosh, I can't read my writing now. Edwina, okay. Oh, online, yes. We had a couple people call online, and Edwina was one of them.
Oh, great. Thank you.
And then we have Dollar Dollar is a horse. Okay. And the Crane family.
Excellent.
Sharon Wolf.
Thank you, Sharon.
Gregory and Amy Lewis.
Yay.
Bill Clement.
Amazing.
And yeah, I mean, and anonymous. There are several anonymi.
I'm just going to send a special shout out to that donating horse.
We love the horse.
428-1393, and keep those phones ringing until the end of the hour, and of course all day too, but we wanted to really, really meet our goal with it within this hour. And we mentioned High Desert Harps that are going to be at Santa Fe, at Collected Works Bookstore on Sunday. They're also going to be from 2 to 3 at the David Richard Art Gallery in the Rail Yard Arts Area. Lively jigs and gorgeous airs played by 8 harpists and Bodron. So, High Desert Harps.
Another thing that'll keep you guys interested is that there's a dueling pair of lectures. The Chaco Era Outlier That Wasn't is a lecture by John Kantner, Santa Fe Archaeological Society's monthly lecture. I never can figure out why they do this. 7:30 p.m. on Monday at the Courtyard Marriott. And they're dueling with The Pueblo Cosmos Through Time and Space, the Southwest Seminars Ancient Sites and Ancient Stories lecture with Sam Dewey, which is at the Hotel Santa Fe at 6 p.m. Both of them are worthwhile, so if you're closer to the Courtyard Marriott or you're closer to the Hotel Santa Fe, go and learn something about the history of this environment.
Excellent. And at Garcia Street Books, one of our other fabulous independent bookstores, over P.J. Clark's bar is Tales from New York City's Famous Saloon, will be presented by author Helen Marie Clark, also known as Helen Melanfi, who's the great niece of P.J. Clark, who was a famous saloon owner who guided his saloon through Prohibition and all kinds of things.
Brewing gin in the tub, a real exciting. And that was a great interview, I have to say. I was just fascinated listening to you talk.
It was a quickie, but, you know, there we have it. And I would like to also say, a week from today, the 22nd, and I will announce it again because I've got an interview coming on Friday of next week at this time, there is a play at the Lenzic. And now I'm blanking on the name. But keep it open. Keep this moment open. I'll find out what the name of it is. It's one of the best plays I've ever read in my whole life. I haven't seen it yet, but it's being performed in Albuquerque now, and it's going to be at the Lenzic on Friday.
Marvelous. I just want to do a shout-out. Carlin Tapp, who's Wicomico and a local Santa Fe photographer, has spent the last 10 years dealing with the observation of coal and the ways in which the mining of coal and the burning of coal have influenced our world. And he has a beautiful exhibition called China Express that's up at the Santa Fe Art Institute in the gallery. It's black and white photography at its very best. It's powerful, it's moving, and it talks about the whole phenomenon of our stepping back from coal and the resultant shipping of coal to China as a way to keep the corporations functioning. And he follows the trains that go from the largest strip mine in the world in Wyoming all the way to the Pacific Northwest to be shipped out to China, and raises issues of the devastation of eminent domain that's taking over the native communities along the Puget Sound. It is an important exhibition. They're beautiful photographs, and it really addresses the role that the arts play in helping us to see what's going on in the world.
He is a fantastic man. His photography is fantastic. He I think wasn't he one of the people who was allowed to print Ansel Adams' negatives and stuff
yes,
like that?
Yes, because he worked with Ansel Adams as a young man. And it's the same kind of format. They're small, 8x10, beautiful black and white photographs.
428-1393. And I'm pretty sure we're going to get to our $2,000 goal this hour. And by the way, Clybourne Park is the name of the play by Fusion Theater, which is
there
happening in a week. And ladies and gentlemen, you got to sell that theater out because it is so good. Okay, and the 2013 Auction and Art Market, which is a special juried event, is happening tonight at St. John's College, and it's the Spanish Colonial Auction and Market. So tonight from 5 to 7 is the market opening, and from 7 to 9, from 7:15 to 9, admission is free, and then tomorrow from 9 to 4, the market continues. And very, very beautiful Spanish Colonial Art Auction.
There's an extraordinary talk and presentation by three remarkable people Thursday evening at 6:30 p.m. at the New Mexico History Museum Auditorium. It's Native American fashion from the 1940s to the present and into the future. Jessica Metcalf is the author of a wonderful new book, and she's going to highlight the works of designers Lloyd Kivenew. Everybody thinks of Lloyd Kivenew in terms of founding SWIA and IAIA, but he started as a fashion designer and was one of the figures that really brought Native design and patterning into the 50s design. Also, Wendy Ponca, Patricia Michaels, and Virgil Ortiz. So head over on Thursday at 6:30 p.m. to the History Museum's auditorium, and I think you will find this to be a remarkable, remarkable talk.
Wednesday and Thursday, March 18th and 19th, I think that's Wednesday and Thursday, March 18th and 19th of next week at the Lensic Theater is the Banff Mountain Film Festival.
Yes.
And that's always a wonderful thing. For more information, 988-1234. Actually, I have no idea what days of the week that is. Put your days of the week on your press releases, ladies and gentlemen. But anyway, that's the 18th and 19th of next week. And then
that's Monday and Tuesday.
It's Monday
week.
And Tuesday?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So the
I can help.
Thank you. And March 17th, which I guess must then be Sunday.
Sunday.
Is the
St. Paddy's.
Pueblo Abiquiú March 17th Readathon and Drawathon. And so if you are up in Abiquiú, you can go read and draw whatever your deal is.
On Wednesday the 20th, not only do we have Deborah Madison at Collective Works Bookstore, which I recommend highly, at 6 p.m., but two other very interesting talks. One is the Friends of the Wheelwright Lecture, which is a discussion of blackening song.